My name is, oh man, that's good. You guys are on it today. We are ready for this new series, I can tell. My name is Shad Wickstrom. I'm the lead pastor here at Pursuit Church. If you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here with us today. We want to especially welcome you. This church is a welcoming community, and we want to be that for you. And as Kristen said, we are a place where you can belong before you believe. And what that means is you're invited to come and explore the Christian faith here with us. You don't have to believe to be a part of what we're doing. You can help serve. You can be a part of the community, what we're doing in Fort Collins, before you believe, because we want you to see up front and close and personal what it means to truly follow Jesus in the way that the Bible tells us to do it. And so we invite you to be a part of that. I do want to say hi to everybody watching online. We know there are some folks away this weekend. We're glad that you're joining us online. Everybody turn around and say hi. So see, some of you will see them. Hello, everybody. We're glad that you're there. Let us know where you're watching from today. Put it in the comments section, and we'd love to know who's watching today. But we're glad you're here. We hope that if you've been watching online, you'll come in person and be with us, because we'd love to meet you. So we're glad that you're there, though. We want to say hi to you as well. Like I said, we are starting a new series today, so if you came for the first time or you're watching for the first time, this is a great starting point for you. Now, this is a mini-series. Before we launch what is I'm really excited about, I'm not excited about this, but I'm more excited about what we're starting on September 19th, just a challenge for this church to come together, whoever's a part of it, and grow deeper. For 5 weeks, we're going to be meeting in small groups, and on Sunday morning, everybody's going to be heading the same direction for 5 weeks, and we're going to challenge each other, encourage each other to go deeper. And so that's what we're doing. But it's a series and an engagement for all of us, no matter where you're at. If you're just starting, there is something for you in it. If you've been walking with Jesus your whole life, there is renewal in this series. So I'm excited about it, been praying about it. I invite you to pray with me for that series specifically for this church and for this community, because I believe God wants to do some changing in our lives, and that is what we're praying for as we come into that. But today we start a new mini-series called Live on Mission. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, you were built for a mission. You were built for a mission. Everybody needs to hear that today, for more than just me. You were made for a mission. You were built for a mission. And as we come into fall and the new school year, this is a time, the fall is a time where we kind of reset everything, right? We reestablish our patterns. Some of us have kids that are starting school, and there's no new rhythms with that. But the fall is this natural time where we get back into the groove, and I want us to think about the big picture for the next 2 weeks. So as you're setting priorities and schedules, I want to just challenge you to keep in mind what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks, and then be ready, and we launch into that 5-week challenge to grow together spiritually as a church family. But let me say this before we get into the topic this morning. I want you to know that in order for you to feel connected to this church body, this church family, you need to be a part of three different things. Would you hold your hands up and put three up there? Three different things. The first thing is you need to be coming on a Sunday morning to hang out with us. If you want to know how to get connected, that's where you start. The second way, hold up the second two fingers now, because we already did the third, do two. The second way is to get plugged in to a smaller group. Now put down this finger, not the other one. Do the first finger now. We're at number one here. Participate in the mission and ministry that God's given this church. In order for you to feel connected with what we're doing, what God is doing here, you need to be engaged in those three ways. If you're not engaged in those three ways, there's going to be part of you wondering, am I really connected here, or what's going on with these people? They don't seem friendly or connected. Well, I'll tell you, you're as connected as you want to be. And with Pursuit, that's the way to get connected. Be a part of what we're doing on Sundays, getting into a smaller group where you get to know people and they get to know you, and then be a part of what God's doing through us. If you're struggling with depression or what my purpose is in life, I want to challenge you as we get ready to launch into the 5-week session, get connected with a small group and be looking for opportunities to serve others. The quickest way to break out of depression and a struggle is to get your mind off yourself and just serve others. It's God's secret to unlocking some beautiful things in life. So just as we begin there, I wanted to plant that seed for you as we launch into this fall. But now, I want you to put your seatbelt on. Go ahead, do your seatbelt, because I'm going to make you uncomfortable right now. I promise it will make somebody uncomfortable, at least probably most of you on some level, okay? You're going to get prepared to get uncomfortable, all right? Are you ready? Take a breath. All right, I'm going to give each of you an opportunity to come up and preach a part of the message. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that to you. But did you get a little uncomfortable? Like, oh my goodness, I would never go up and stand in front of people to talk, right? It makes some of us uncomfortable. Let me ask you this, though. What is it that makes you feel uncomfortable? Is it standing on the edge of a cliff like this guy? Would that make you feel uncomfortable? Would you get like a little vertigo action going and going, I'm definitely feeling uncomfortable. What if you were in a room full of these guys? Next one. How would that make you feel? I saw some of you go, like this. Yes, a little uncomfortable. Bear with me, okay? There is a point to all of this. What about this right here, this next situation? Does this make you uncomfortable? I tried to find the noise of that drill, you know, because I knew that some of you would probably be going, oh, that's like, so hold that feeling with me. I don't know if any of those things make you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you don't have any of those. Maybe it's standing up in front of people. Maybe it's asking somebody to do something, or maybe asking somebody out, whatever it might be. I want you to hold that feeling for just a moment. And I want to share with you a little bit of my story about my romance with this beautiful girl named Julie. So we met in high school, we're high school sweethearts, but when I showed up at this school that we were both at, she had a boyfriend, dang it. I liked her a lot. She was beautiful, and she just had this sweet, sweet disposition. And man, I fell right away. But she had a boyfriend. But get this, God knows what he's doing, because one of the classes that we were in together, guess what it was? Chemistry class. Yes, one of the most exciting classes, but the chemistry wasn't the issue in the class. It was what was going on right between her and I, because I knew it was there. And so I would say to her almost every day we were in this class, like, when am I going to get my chance? And she would be, oh, you're so sweet. You're such a good friend, right? I got friend zoned. And it was a full year of doing this back and forth. And finally she relented. But I'll tell you, I was rejected so many times by her before, like multiple times. You're such a good friend. Yes. Love that. But did you know this? Nearly 70% of all men get rejected before they get their chance at a first date. That's a big number. So we're in good company, guys, if you've been there. But when you look into it, this is what happened. Listen to this. These are statistics about it. 24% of those 70% that got rejected the first time got friend-zoned right away. Like, oh, you're such a good friend. I knew what that felt like. 29% were rejected, and the woman did not even suggest an alternative day. And here's the worst, which was the largest statistic. 47% didn't even get a reply. She didn't even respond back to them. Wow, ouch. This means that a lot of guys are going through a lot of rejection, and they're actually just being ignored. That's a tough road to travel, isn't it? I can imagine now, as we get ready to talk about talking to people about Jesus, how some of you might start to feel uncomfortable. Oh, I don't know if I could do that, right? But did you realize this? Listen to this carefully, my friends. Almost 90%, and I'm not loading that statistic, it's something like 89-something, almost 90% of the surrounding community right here in Rigdon Farms and in Northern Colorado have no connection to Jesus or his church in any meaningful way. Let that set in for a minute. That's 9 out of every 10 people that you meet in the grocery store, in your neighborhood, in your places of influence. Almost 9 out of every 10 have no meaningful connection to what they were created for their created purpose. Here's an incredible statistic too. Of those 9 people you encounter in your daily life who are not connected to Jesus or his church, according to Barna's research, most of them, almost all of them, said they would go to church if they were invited by someone they knew. Almost all of them would say they would go if somebody they knew would invite them. Wynn Arnn, in his research about new people coming to church, asked more than 50,000 people all over the world, primarily in the United States of America, over the last 10 years, why they came to church. He asked 50,000 people, why did you come to church? Between 75 to 80 percent of the respondents said, I began attending because someone invited me. A simple invitation. Hey, come to church with me. Go out to lunch after and let's talk about what the weird guy had to say. Simple thing. My friends, the main idea is this. You and I were made to live on mission. So be willing to step out of the comfort zone, out of your comfort zone, and invite others into the journey. As we do that, we're going to now jump into the Bible. I hope your interest is piqued and you want to know what I have to say, what the Bible has to say about this subject. But if you would turn in your Bible apps or in your Bible, if you have it with you, to John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19 are the verses we'll be reading as kind of our springboard into what we're talking about this morning. Or you can go to the YouVersion Bible app, as Kristen mentioned, or pursuitchurch.com/connect/notes. A lot of ways to get there to follow along with what we're going to talk about, what the Bible has to say about this today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your love is powerful, that your love is consuming, that your love is fixed on us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that will never change. Your love is a settled matter, and the cross reveals that to us. You poured out your love through your Son Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, so that we would know forever that we belong. We have a place in this world, and it is rooted deeply in your unconditional love that has no basis on our performance, on our past, or on our future and what we may or may not do. Your love is settled. And you have entrusted to us this incredible message, this incredible good news. You've entrusted that to us to share with others, to be set free in the same way that we've been set free to live. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me your words of encouragement today, that they would ring true in our hearts, those things that are from you, that we know that this is truth. We're ready to live and respond to life rooted in that truth. God, we thank you that your love is a settled matter. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me today as we read this passage? I'm going to read it out loud, but I'd like you to follow along. And we stand sometimes, not always, but today I want to stand because I want to honor the fact that we're reading from God's love letter to us. And it's a reminder that these words are not just words from a book, but they are words of love meant for all people. And we honor that when we stand and we listen, we put our mind and our attention to it. So John 17, verses 14 through 19, these are Jesus' words in a prayer that he prayed before he left planet Earth. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Look at verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Listen, my friends, if you follow Jesus, you have a mission here on planet Earth. You have a purpose. You were created to do something that only God can do through you uniquely. Jesus reiterates that a little bit further in John 20, verse 21. Jesus says this, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You are not here by accident. You are not birthed from primordial ooze in an evolutionary process. You were given and created on purpose. You were given a purpose, created on purpose by a maker who has intelligent design. And you cannot look at planet Earth, study science in whatever form or fashion, or archaeology and not know the truth is that you are created and made for a purpose. And we're going to talk about that purpose today. The Bible defines five aspects of that. Again, you and I were made to live on mission, so be willing to step out of your comfort zone, invite others into the journey. That's our main idea. I want to touch that now. Return to the idea that the Bible defines five aspects of purpose for Christ's followers. If you study what the Old Testament and the New Testament combined have to say about why you're here on planet Earth, there are essentially five aspects to your purpose. And when we're living in those purposes, we're setting a direction. Listen carefully. When we're living in those purposes, we're setting a direction that determines our destiny. Some of you are listening through the summer, the main idea in Proverbs. Your direction determines your destination. Right here, God gives us the purposes that root us in that direction. And you're going to do four things in heaven forever. And God wants you to do those things here while you're on earth. The first one is to worship Him. That's to know Him and to love Him. You were created with a God-sized hole in your heart, in your life. Only God can fill it, but we try to fill it with a bunch of different things. God has created you to worship Him, to search for Him. That's why we're hungry in life. That's why there are needs in us. God put those needs so that we would search for Him and know Him. The second purpose that He gives us is to love people. The Bible word for this is fellowship, that we get to know people, we love people, we serve people. That is our second created purpose. If we're not doing some aspect of that, we're consumed with our own life and our own things, and we're out of kilter in the purpose God's given us to love people. First, to love Him and love people. The third thing is to become more like Jesus. For those who follow Jesus, part of our purpose in this world is then to become more like Him. And the Bible word for that, does anybody know? It's discipleship. Becoming a follower of Jesus, more and more like Him. That is your third purpose that you carry with you into eternity. And the fourth one is essentially putting others' needs before your own, serving in the world. Like the second one, learning to love people and serve them. We're also going into the world to serve people. So those are four things we're going to carry with us in eternity. But the fifth thing, the fifth purpose is something you and I can only do when we're on planet Earth. And so the time is limited. And when we're not living in that purpose, we're missing a big part of what we were created for. And it's being a part of Jesus' mission on His earth as His bride, His family, His people. He has chosen to do this through us. And that is our reason for being. It is our mission. It is why Pursuit Church exists. And that's what we're going to talk about. So the first question we'll ask is this: what is my mission? What is your mission on earth? Why are you here? Let's define it clearly this morning. And I would say that this is a mission of every follower of Jesus until He comes again or calls us home. This is your create or your given mission. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is this, Acts 20, verse 24. A book that was written, the book of Acts was written so that people could see how the church was birthed. It's a history book, and it shows you the acts of the apostles or the people that were appointed by Jesus to start what He was doing, to continue this mission. And this is one of the most prolific writers in the New Testament sharing what his purpose was. He says this: my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work or the mission assigned me by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. Look carefully. It's the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. You have both a custom mission that you uniquely fulfill, that your personality, your heart, your passions, only you can fulfill it. It's a custom mission for you. But we also have a common mission that we share with every other believer on planet Earth. And I would say to you that your customized mission becomes more and more clear as you grow closer to Jesus and become more like him. You understand who you are and the gifts that you've been given and how you use those gifts to serve other people. But today we're going to look at the common mission that we all share together. So once we know that God's in control, once we know that we're made to be loved by him and to love him, we know that life is not an accident, we have purpose. God wants us to share that truth with other people. That's why we're here on planet Earth. It's not why we're not taken out of the earth or the world when we trust in Jesus. So we find these good things, we experience them, and then we share them. And there's a Bible word for that freaks people out, but it's in the Bible. It's called evangelism. Evangelism. How many of you just kind of got vomit in the back of your throat hearing that word? Like, just be honest. Like, what, you know, okay, you don't have to tell me. I kind of do because it's such a misunderstood word. It's like, I don't even want to say this word, God, but it's in the Bible. It's a Bible word, and I'm going to say it. Here's the truth. It's euangelion, and it simply means this. To share good news. But the word's been so twisted. In fact, this word it brings up these weird images in our mind, right? Some of you probably had this image of some guy shouting and screaming across the stage with big hair, and he's like, send me all your money, right? I mean, that's what we think of when we think of evangelists. Because the world has warped it, and men and women have warped that understanding. But all that it means is to share the good news. We share that God loves us and he has a purpose for us and he has a purpose for all people and he wants us to pass that along. So what is our mission? What is your mission? What is my mission? What is the mission of Pursuit Church? The mission is this, in your notes, to tell others the good news about Jesus. My friends, it's that simple. That we're to be attentive and ready, that when God shows us where he's at work, where he's working in somebody's life and heart, that we're willing and ready to jump in and share the good news about Jesus. So where do we share it? We go on in Acts and it reveals a little bit of the where. We know the what is to share the good news about Jesus. Where do we share it? Acts 1:8, we find a pattern of sorts. Again, this is descriptive, not necessarily prescriptive, although it provides a roadmap for us to follow. And I think it's important to look at that in chapter 1, verses 8, when Jesus left, ascended into heaven after he rose from the dead. This is what those people that were kind of left behind wondering what to do were told. They said, you're going to receive power, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon you, and you will be my what? Witnesses, telling people about me, Jesus, saying this or to his people as he revealed himself to them, reappearing to them. You're going to tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the what? Ends of the earth. So when Jesus told his followers, do you know where they were? Where were they at this moment in time? They were in Jerusalem. So in essence, what he was saying to them, listen, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you realize how God loves you and what he's done for you in his son, Jesus Christ, when that comes upon you, you're going to then be my witnesses in Jerusalem first. That's where they lived, in their homes, with their family, in their neighborhoods, at their workplace. It began there. They shared this amazing good news with people around them. Then he says, go to Judea and Samaria, and that would be like going to the county close to us, the next county in our region. But the Samaritans whom he was talking about there were different culturally and racially. So he said, I want you to go to people that are different than you. It's not just for you. It's for all people, people that are different than you socioeconomically, ethnically, racially, all different people. I want you to go and share the good news with them. And last, I want you to go to the ends of the earth and tell everybody. Tell the whole planet what incredible thing God has done. Notice that word witness there. Notice first what it doesn't talk about. It's not a defense attorney. It's not a well-trained, well-crafted defense attorney or a prosecutor or a salesman. We're called to be what? A witness. What is witness? The word there is martus, And a witness is simply someone who tells about what they have seen. All that we're asked to do is tell what we've seen to others, what we've seen God do, his amazing love and how it set us free and how it's making us new, and when we're broken, how it heals us. You don't have to be a salesman. You don't have to defend God. All God wants you to do is share your story in your family, in your neighborhoods, where you work. Maybe he's going to direct you to go to some other communities that are different culturally or ethnically. But he wants us to share the story. My friends, only you can tell your story. Only you are the expert in your story, what you've been through, how God has worked in your life, how he's healed you, how he set you free, how he's making you new. Only you can tell that story, and you were created to do that. God loved you so much, he sent his son to die for you, to redeem your life, and to set you on a course and a purpose that you were created for. And he's simply asking you to share that story. Your story is valid, and it's important, and he wants to use it to encourage and to set other people free. So where do we share our story? You and I share it in our home, neighborhood, community, and anywhere God sends us. So we've talked about what our mission is, to share the story, share the good news. We've talked about where we share it, in our home, neighborhood, and wherever else God calls us. But the most important question we ask is the why. It's been said that if we understand the why, most of everything else takes care of itself. Let's talk a little bit about the why. What is the why? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. We're going to read that. It'll be up on the screen for you or in your Bibles or in your notes. Ephesians 3, verses 5 through 11. God did not reveal this to the previous generations. He kept it from them, although he prophesied or told it was going to be coming. But now by his Spirit, he's revealed to his holy apostles and prophet. And this is God's plan. Listen carefully. Both Gentiles and Jews, the people outside the chosen people who were chosen to reveal God's plan, not because they were special, but both Gentiles, those outside the chosen people and the Jews, believe in the good news, share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are a part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings because they both belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him, spreading this good news. Though I'm the least deserving of all people, he committed murder. He was torturing God's people. God called him out of that. He said, graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. And I, Paul speaking here, talking to some people who are new believers, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, the bride, you and me are the church, to use the church to display his wisdom and its variety, its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, rooted in the midst of this, verse 11, this was God's plan for all of history. Do you realize that God has a great story that's unfolding in this world? And yes, a part of that great story is this generation. He knew, he is not surprised that we're in the middle of this strange environment that's rooted in a pandemic. God is not surprised. His purposes, his mission, his plan, his idea is still at work, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This was his plan, which he carried out through Christ. And here's the amazing part, my friends. God has chosen you and me to complete the mission. I know. What was he thinking? Look around this room for a minute. Make eye contact with a few different people and say, what was he thinking? What was he thinking? He was thinking that his strength is made perfect in weakness. God has chosen to use broken, imperfect people, imperfect churches to fulfill his perfect plan. And you are invited to be a part of it. And he says, I want you guys to finish it. He wants us to finish it. And it says there that he's building an eternal family. That was his plan. God created planet Earth perfectly, distance from the sun, tilted on an axis, spinning at the right rotation with precision, that if it was skewed 1 degree, life would not exist. He put all that in motion to create people, to build ultimately, to grow his forever family. And he wants us to be a part of it and growing in it and inviting others to as well. One day all believers are going to be gathered together in what the Bible calls a new heaven and a new earth to live forever in a redeemed experience where there is no more sin, no more suffering, no more tragedy, no more trial, no more sorrow. That day is coming. It's coming. God is letting this season run out for his grand and great purpose, but it's coming where a redeemed experience with no tears or sorrow. Dallas Willard put it well. He said this, "The aim of God in history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with himself included in that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant." My friends, that day is coming. Meanwhile, welcome to planet Earth. Yes, we got to go out into the world. We got to go out into the grumpy spaces and places and bring the joy of Jesus wherever we live. The whole point of history in your notes is God growing his forever family. Again, the main idea, you and I were made to live on mission, so be willing to step out of the comfort zone and invite people into that journey with you. Let me give you the so what. Let me give you what I hope you take away from this message with you, the application. What is my part? What is your part? What's our part in this amazing story that God is writing for history? How do we get on his plan of growing his forever family? First of all, in your notes, I want to challenge you to think about, pray about, be open to telling others in your sphere of influence what God has done for you. I want you to think about that. What would that look like? Who would you share that with? Who in your sphere of influence needs to know? Who are those 9 out of 10 people that do not know Jesus or are not connected with his purposes at all? Who would God use you to share what he has done for you? That is the starting point. Be willing to share. Look at what Jesus said to this man that he set free from being possessed. Luke chapter 8, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and he told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. And I wonder as you sit here today and think about what God has been doing in your life, who is it that needs to know that they could be set free or can find hope or find purpose and meaning like you have found in your life? Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's your children that need to know and hear that today. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody that you're working with and you realize, man, they are broken and they need to know there's hope and purpose and meaning. Maybe it's one of your neighbors that you've seen just kind of barely survive in this last couple years. Who is it that Jesus would say to you, return home and share what God has done for you? That's where our mission starts, right there. I know it's difficult. There's a few reasons. Let me just unpack those real briefly. We believe a myth that people aren't interested in spiritual issues. That kind of keeps us from doing it, right? We don't think people are very interested in those things. Or maybe we don't know what to share. That's another reason we don't do it. And we're afraid they're going to ask a question and we don't know the answer. Remember, he's not asking you to have all the answers to be the perfect prosecutor or a defense attorney. All he's asking you to do is to share your story. I don't know about that maybe, but let me tell you what God has done for me and what he wants to do for you. Every person in this room can do that. If you've encountered Jesus, you have a story to tell of what he's done. And I want to break down those barriers. And let me just share this with you. Gallup, again, did some research, studied 65 million Americans that had no church affiliation, no church home. 34 million of them said they would attend if someone would just invite them. My friends, what that means is there are 34 million people right now in America waiting for an invitation.
And a large number of those reside in Colorado, I'm pretty sure of it. You guys with me? It was just a little joke. You could give me at least a smile and let me know you're still with me. I'm pretty sure that a lot of them live here in Colorado, aren't you? No, I'm let's not go there. So 2 Peter 3:9, God says that he is not slow in doing what he promised, the way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but he wants all people to change their heart and lives. God wants all people. He is not rejecting anyone. The only reason that people aren't coming to him is they have chosen to reject the gift that he has given. He wants all people to change. If you want to be a part of what God is doing, his story, if you want his blessing on your life, you've got to care about what he cares about. And my friends, what does God care about? People. God cares about people. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your loved one. That's why he has you here this morning. So this message would impress something in your heart, and you might be compelled by God's love at work in your life to say, God loves you, to someone else. We have that mission, and that is to share the good news. So don't be afraid to tell others in your sphere of influence what God has done for you. Secondly, take a risk to find common ground and help others. Our love compels us to do that, to move beyond our comfort zone to people with different backgrounds, different education, different language, different economics. My friends, our mission has eternal consequences at stake. The why is absolutely critical. Heaven and hell are at stake, and we've got to be willing to risk our discomfort, being uncomfortable with rejection or tension in a moment. And my friends, if you and I held the cure, or knew the cure for AIDS or cancer or COVID or whatever it might be, and we held it to ourselves, that would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy to hold that. We would be shouting it. But we have something more important to share, and that is the way to eternal life, to knowing God and being known. We need to take the risk. Like Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 said this, when I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Friends, be willing to take a risk to find common ground with people. Christians are called to build bridges, not walls. Repeated time and time in the Bible, we're told to reach out, to share the good news with others, to be servants in our community, to go. Rigdon Farm and Bucking Horse neighborhoods are our starting place as a church. That's our Jerusalem. And some of us are spread out throughout Fort Collins, and that's an extension of our Jerusalem to some degree. But God's landed us with purpose right here. And we're helping in this community to serve. And one opportunity to do that is coming up here in October. We're going to do our Trunk or Treat event again. A very practical way to jump on board, take a risk, and be available to serve in this community. And I'm excited about what we're going to do with that, and we'll share more as that gets closer, but be a great practical way to jump in and take a risk. In Galatians 6, we're encouraged to share each other's burdens and obey the law of Christ. We have people right now in our church who are reaching beyond their world to help others, whether it's through foster care or serving at a local homeless place, or places where we're serving people in need. But two practical ways to take a risk. Get ready to be involved in the Trunk or Treat event that we're doing October 31st. And maybe reach out and serve at Serve 6-8. We have several events over this next year that you can get plugged in and involved in, whether it's bringing food or items to give to people in need in this community. Take a risk and step into what God's doing. One day we're going to stand before him, and he's going to do an audit of all that we've done. Not for shame or guilt, but to ask us the question, did you show love, or did you say that you loved? Did you demonstrate the love of God in the world, or did you say that's what you did? Look at this promise from Jesus here in Mark 10. He says, I assure you, everyone that's given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake or for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. My friends, God does not lie. God does not lie. Do you know any investment on planet Earth where you get a 10,000% return? You're not going to get those rates anywhere in this world. God has said, whatever you do for me and sharing good news with other people will not be in vain. I will see it and I will bless you. The third element of just practical response, what I hope you take away with you is this, an inspiration to do something about what is going on in the world. I want to challenge you to simply open your heart that God might want to use you specifically to do something about the struggles, the challenges, and the problems that are happening in the world today. There's a reason why there is a stirring going on. God is preparing, I believe, to draw more people to himself through the struggle, through the persecution, or the challenges of life. That's where we look and search the most. Are we ready? Are you ready to be used by God in this season? I would simply just challenge you to start by opening up your heart and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Just simply pray and ask him, God, show me what you're doing. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I am compelled to care about what's going on in the world. Mark 16:15, again, we're reminded, Jesus says, go into the whole world, all the world, and preach the good news. And sometimes use words. Doesn't say that, but I think it means that. Sometimes we use words, but preaching the good news is oftentimes actions and living it out, showing the world God's love in practical ways. Notice a couple things there real quickly. Jesus wasn't talking simply to pastors or missionaries. He was talking to everyday followers, you and me. He was saying, you go and share the good news. Let me share this last verse with you. And it's a challenge. It's not a real popular message to give in our culture, in our day and age, but it's Jesus' words. It's Jesus' call to people. It's Jesus' invitation to us. And he says this, Mark 8, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. The invitation today is letting go of the things of this world, the life that you've been building, that you've been holding on to as though you had any control. Jesus saying, if you want to lose your life, that's how you do it. Hold on tightly to the things of this world, the temporary things that are going to be burned up. They're going to be gone. You don't take them with you. If that's the life you're building, it's surrounded around that. You're losing your life every day. The real substance and the real meaning. And he's inviting us to lose it for his sake and for the sake of the good news. And that's where you're going to find it. Again, you and I were made to live on mission, so be willing to step out of your comfort zone, invite others into this beautiful, hard sometimes, but fulfilling life in Jesus. So what's your next step this morning? What is your next step? What is God asking you to do? We're not all in the same place, but I know God is desiring that each of us take one step. What is your next step? Maybe it's simply, I'm gonna pray this next week, God, use me. Maybe that's your next step. Okay, God, I got it. I see this. I heard what Pastor Shad said. I'm gonna choose to pray, God, you use me. Show me what you're doing in this world and use me. And that's your next step. Maybe your next step is to keep coming on Sundays, and that's okay. If that's your next step, take your next step. Maybe some of you are now challenged as we think about this fall, getting into our home groups. Maybe that's your next step. Most importantly, though, I always want to give an opportunity for this because of what God has done in my life, and I can tell you how beautiful it is. You may need to give your life to Jesus today And I want to invite you to do that. And if that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer. Would you all just bow your heads and close your eyes with me right now? And if that's you and you've never given your life to Jesus, let me just give you some words you might share. Pray to God right now where you're sitting or where you're watching from. And just let him know that this message spoke to you. Your words, God. Just let God know that the words spoke to you in some way, that he's doing something in your heart and you want to respond to it. Let me just invite you to pray with me this prayer. You can pray it right where you're at. Again, the words aren't any magical words. They're just me coaching you as a pastor, what you might pray if you've never really prayed before, responding to what God's doing in your heart. And you can pray this: God, thank you for making me and loving me. Even when I've ignored you and I've gone my own way, I realize I need you in my life. And I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me now. And I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please help me understand this incredible truth more. As much as I know now, I want to follow Jesus from now on in my life. Please come into my life and make me a new person. I accept your gift of salvation. I want to now grow as a follower of Jesus. As we continue in an attitude of prayer this morning, I want to pray for those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus, because this is an important thing, that we recognize that God wants to fulfill his purpose and mission in growing his family through us. And I want to just ask you right now, if as a believer in Jesus, if you would just be honest with me for a moment. Nobody's looking around, but I just want to know within our church, how many of you feel intimidated by the idea of talking about Jesus, maybe at work or at home? Would you just put your hand up and let me pray for you this morning? Say, you know what? Yeah, Shad, would you just pray for me? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Just thank you for just responding, just being honest. Guys, that's what God is asking of us, just to be honest. And we're, even in putting our hand up and saying that, we're just saying, God, I need your help. I'm being honest. I don't know that I can do that. So let me pray for you this morning. God, I pray for all of us, but especially those that were just honest in this moment and saying this. It's a hard thing for them to do. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit and that you would just open eyes to see where there is need in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our workplaces. God, help us to see with spiritual eyes. Help us to see the things that you see. And I pray that you would break our heart for the things that break your heart. We need you to do that. None of us feel worthy, God. None of us feel like we've got it all figured out. God, we're before you saying, God, we feel broken and sinful and weak at times and don't know what to say, or we're struggling. God, we need your spirit to give us the strength. And so we ask you for that today. I ask you for that for Pursuit Church, God, that you would make us a people who care about the things you care about and love people in the way that you love people. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.